you know, be intentional about getting to know your people. Be a little bit vulnerable for allowing them to get to know you. Saying that, hey, really success, a lot of it really just comes by overcoming a lot of challenges, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You can't be successful without a challenge. And so you need these challenges and obstacles to be successful. I don't have all the answers like I did in the pandemic, but even though I don't have all the answers, I'm confident we're going to get through this, right?
Hey there, friend. This is Stephanie Crevins, and you are listening to the Mid-Level Leaders Hot Mess Hotline, where we share seasoned executives and entrepreneurs' hot business messes so you can learn from their well-earned street cred. Today's episode is Gary Hobbs here in Indianapolis. He is a serial entrepreneur who has managed portfolios well over $100 million. And he is an entrepreneur, a former corporate executive with just an amazing portfolio of real estate, technology, education, and healthcare projects under his belt. He is going to tell us about a really hard business decision that he had to make because he was running a business that just wasn't true to who he was and wasn't what he loved. And so when he created Focus for himself, he was able to create success in his business. Let's dig into this conversation, my friend. All right, Gary, I'd love to hear about your hot mess, sir.
Well, of course, you know, there's plenty of messes in my life, but the big hot one that I'd like to share today is about 7 years ago, Stephanie, here was a major kind of transition in our business, specifically on our construction business here, with shifting from a subcontractor to more of a construction manager and general contractor. And being a little bit more specifically, you know, we... BWI at a high level, we're a full service developer organization. So we do a lot of affordable and workforce housing since 2005. And then around 2010, I said, hey, man, what a great idea. Let me start an electrical contracting company. Right.
And, I sense some sarcasm in here.
Yeah, right. There is some, right? Because I just figured, well, you know, I'm an electrical engineer by training. I deal with teeny tiny volts, and figure that, you know, atoms are atoms, and you just get bigger voltages, and I could be an electrical contractor. And I found out that's completely different. You know, I can barely change my own light bulb. You know, but I can design a computer and TV, but can't change the light bulb, right? But that's no customers. But a lot of my engineering buddies and electrical contractor, electrician buddies, they can relate to that, right? But regardless, you know, I made that decision around 2010 to start an electrical contracting company, and it actually panned off really, really well. I mean, you know, we did really well, made a lot of money, had up to about 60 electricians at one point in time. And,
wow.
And things were, you know, going fairly well, you know, right in that curve upward. And the big hot mess was, you know what, I don't really like, you know, that part of the business. You know, the development business was growing pretty significantly as well at the same
time.
I really loved that part of the business development. Then we brought on property management. So life was pretty good. But the hot mess occurred when I started putting more attention to the part of the business I really loved. I was really passionate about on the development and construction side, and a little less on the electrical subcontracting, right? Running pipes and wires. And because we wasn't doing this just for our own projects. We were doing most of it was for third-party work that we were doing for other general contractors and folks. Yeah. So it was a, it came eventually to a head where I had to make some decisions. That created a big hot mess for me because I love people, right?
Yes.
So I was very much attached to the people and the families that, you know, we were providing for. The people were just great people, but I wasn't attached to the type of business we're doing and the clients, right?
Yes.
And so that was the challenge. That was the big mess in terms of how to unwind and try to manage that transition from electrical contractor to more of a project management services kind of a company and transitioning some people into the new entity and then transition to unbound homes for the other people. So it did create, and also our clients as well.
Yes.
You know, had to work through that whole transition piece. And there were some things we did well, some things probably wish we could have did a little bit better. But, you know, it is what it is, right?
Yes.
But we made it through.
You're still here today.
I'm still smiling. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And for my listeners, if you haven't met Gary yet, Gary has the best laugh in the world. Like every time we're together, it's just my goal to make him laugh because it makes me so happy. His happiness makes me happy. Question for you, this tension around, I have a successful electrical contracting business and I don't love it, but man, all the numbers on paper and, you know, all the success criteria that we set out to create is happening. But I would imagine like there was something mentally, physically in your heart that felt conflicted because, man, you're doing so well on electrical contracting, but you don't love it. You love development, construction management. What did that tension feel like for you personally as an owner and a leader?
Yeah, I would say it was challenging. I mean, success is more than just money, right?
Absolutely. It is.
And I think that was part of the tension. It wasn't just the money part per se, because you know the reality is we had a lot of it was a roller coaster ride, and the swings between doing well and doing bad, they were pretty dramatic in that subcontractor business, because it's kind of the nature of the business. You're kind of stuck in the middle, right, between the owners and your general contractor, and then you got suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
And most folks who are in that business, in the construction business, know what I'm talking about, right? That you are really funding the project for the owners, right? And the general contractors.
Yes, until they pay you on the back end.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we have all the people. We're paying the people before we get paid.
Oof.
You know, and it's so there's stress already built into the structure of the industry. And then, you know, once you start growing to a certain level, then there's a little inherent stress here with just people issues, right? And people challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with hardworking, great people that may not necessarily have a lot of the professional training and education and so forth, even though they're super great people. But, you know, there's other challenges that, we just had to deal with as well.
Yes.
So, and I'm used to that. Keep in mind, I love people. So that wasn't the conflict. It wasn't the people and those issues per se. But it was just the nature of the business, right? I mean, I didn't really have a lot of passion for are the pipes straight and the wires straight. Of course, you know, and then the thought of somebody doing something, drinking on the job or whatever, and then they're getting electrocuted. And I'm hearing all these stories that could happen. And it was that daily stress of making sure that people at the end of their day, they're going to be able to go back home safe and not electrocuted, right?
Or yes,
bones falling off ladders or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So that wasn't as appealing for me personally as opposed to developing affordable housing for single parents or for those that are homeless or, you know, seniors that, you know, that need assisted living care. I mean, that it wasn't as much passion behind it.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it was a conflict. Just was the reason that you mentioned. Love the people, but not necessarily the nature of the business.
Yeah. Well, and tell me if I'm off base here, but what I hear there too is every entrepreneur has a tolerance for risk that they're willing to accept. And that business had a level of risk that you weren't willing to accept and didn't fulfill you. And not that there's anything wrong with it. There are, you know, like you said, like your people transition into other parts of your business. They probably went to other businesses. Like, We all have a tolerance, and that just wasn't a place you were willing to go. Plus, obviously, your passion wasn't in it. And so if the risk is too high, the passion isn't there, and that you're funding other people's businesses before you could fund your own, none of that sounds fun.
Right. No, you're right. Now, but interesting enough, in some cases, though, you can make enough money where, like you're saying, that tolerant, you can tolerate it.
Right? Yes, yes.
So there were, several years in the process where we made enough money where it was like, I think this is tolerable. It's painful, mentally painful and challenging here and there, but I can tolerate it. And then you have those down years where it's like, geez, I remember one year. I think the electricians made more money than I did, right? You bid it a little bit too low and one little mistake, you gotta redo and rework and get charged this and that. You want us to honor your commitments. And so you eat a lot of that cost. And that was certainly, to the other extreme of the risk tolerance. It's like, I don't enjoy it. Plus I lost money that particular year or whatever. And was like, geez, why am I doing that? And, so we rolled that curve. Great year. Yes. Okay year. Bad year. Great year. Great year. Great year. Bad year. So that whole kind of roller coaster ride, it finally led it to a point where, I don't want to continue doing that. Let me figure out the best way to transition beyond, be a little bit more strategic, be a little bit more focused, really, for me. Mm. Have a little bit more attention and focus in those areas where the strong passion is and where the business really needed me to be more at. Mm-hmm. But working through that process, it took about a year and a half, Stephanie, to kind of work through the process. And I tell you, it was, it's just been a blessing here for me physically, health wise, and mentally, health wise as well, and the people around me also. It's just been great. And, we've kind of recovered and, we got a little bit more stable, positive revenue and profitability, more predictable. So it's worked out extremely well there for us.
Yes. That focus is always rewarded. Before we get into commercial break and come back and talk about, some of these benefits that you've discussed and what you've learned from that, walk us through, what was that people transition like for you as a leader, as someone who cares so deeply about their people and their well-being? What steps did you take, both good and maybe not the best?
I think the good part was just being transparent with people. Hey, this is the direction that we're going in. So it wasn't anything overly abrupt, but also being transparent as much as we could here with our clients. So, we worked our hardest to, and then we did, finish out our projects and all of our obligations. And because you can imagine, if it were me as an employee or if I was an electrician, the direction is to shift over to more project management. And I was looking for folks here that wanted to be more of a superintendent, be more of an office person, as opposed to swinging hammers and running cable and, terminating circuits, right?
Yes.
And so
I don't know what terminating circuits is, but let's just say yes. Yeah. Yes.
Putting the outlet.
Yes. Yes.
But hanging ceiling fans or whatever. But bottom line is that, there was a lot of people that enjoyed that, and we need people like that, and I did at that time. And then the business began to shift where we didn't need as many. So there were some people that, took upon themselves to leave. I had a few cases here where we had to, terminate people. Those were probably the hardest. Mm-hmm. The majority of the people, though, fit in this bucket here where we were able to partner and work with another electrical firm.
Oh, awesome.
We were able to kind of give them work from our projects, and then they could also take a big chunk of our people. That was one of the things that worked out really, really well. And we've been able to kind of feed that other company more work as a result of them taking care of our people. So that, it just so happened that worked out really, really well in this particular case.
Yeah. That's an amazing win-win-win. How long had you been in relationship with that other firm before you needed to help your existing people transition over?
Maybe couple of years or so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's the good stuff. That, you know, when we talk about developing a business, there's this idea of the entrepreneur who does so much on their own. And it's just such a good reminder that I know you have an entire company built out at BWI, but even partnerships like that outside of our company, we need other people that while you were actively doing electrical contracting, they may have been quote unquote competitors. They became a collaborator. They became a resource. And I'm guessing they were unbelievably grateful for additional people as well.
Yes.
The trade skills have been in dire need of people for decades now. So
right. You're right. It was mutually beneficial on both sides, you know, and but you know, there were some people that obviously they didn't want, some they did, and you know, but so each individual situation was somewhat unique. But overall, the majority of the folks, you know, we were able to find them a really good home. And I'm happy there for that piece, you know.
Yeah.
So that worked out well. I think there were some people that liked our culture and what we were doing, and you know, and maybe had wanted to stay and keep doing what we were doing. So I know there was a few that were disappointed with that as well.
Sure.
And you know, the other piece too, you know, especially being a minority-owned business or having minority-owned businesses. You know, there was a need there for the minority electrical contractor. And so that kind of tugged on me there as well, because I know there's a need in the industry. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of women in minority owned businesses that have not lasted for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a part of that statistic, maybe for slightly different reason, but still that's part of that statistic where, you know, I didn't and wasn't able or chose not to continue that piece of it.
Yes.
But it is what it is. You know, there's reasons for it, but those are some of the other things that kind of affected me in my psyche, if you will, and thinking process in terms of dealing with that hot mess.
Yeah. Gosh, I could see that. It's that big picture, like value-based problem you were trying to solve, you had to let go of a piece of it in order to amplify what was happening in right. your existing company.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The other piece of it too, I think was interesting. You know I joke about, hey, I'm an electrical engineer, but not an electrician, but at the end of it, you know, I still enjoy electrical engineering stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
Development is mostly finance and legal stuff. Let's just keep it right. Yeah, we're putting up big buildings on part. The heart and guts of it is how do you package the financial capital stack, and then how do you make sure you cover with contracts and all this other
legal
stuff. But I have been very fortunate to still bring in some technology components to our business to keep that appetite for needing techie stuff involved. And so we've been doing some really cool things like with apps on our projects and solar. We got big net zero solar applications on some of our multifamily projects and doing some things with, you know, shared ride programs with hybrid vehicles and tying that into technology. And so it keeps the fun alive, and you know, now EV charging stations. And so it's been real interesting because we still got several of those electrical project managers in the former. We still got several of those people on staff. And so it's made it fun for them too to be kind of running some of these projects as a contractor, general contractor that has a technology component to it. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. You get to bring in some of your loves there. Quick story, and then we'll go to break, and we'll come back and say, all right, how has Gary been different as a leader because of this huge transition? I'm just laughing. You say, you know, I'm an electrical engineer and I can't change a light bulb. My father-in-law is also an electrical engineer, and he called us one time and his front porch light that he installed himself had caught on fire and he had to call an electrician to replace it.
Oh, wow.
I know.
I feel so bad.
No. It takes all the skill sets to bring a building to life.
Yes, indeed.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come right back and we'll talk about the focus, the growth opportunities, because you willingly engaged in something very difficult.
Absolutely.
All right, well, we take a quick break from this amazing conversation today. I want to share with you a new tool that I have for you. I think that there's a myth in our workplaces, or let me say this, I know there's a myth in our workplaces that meetings have to suck, and I don't believe that whatsoever. By all accounts, our time in meetings have doubled, if not more, since the start of the pandemic, and this time with your colleagues should not be a waste of time. It should be the most valuable. So if you're looking for more resources to lead meetings that are productive, powerful, impactful, and have everyone participating, get over to my website at stephaniekrevins.com/lead-kickass-meetings and get some new tools so that when you leave a meeting with your colleagues, you're not left going, what the actual F was that? You're going, yes, we're going to take on the world together. Let's get this done, because it was an unbelievably powerful meeting. Those tools are out there for you, my friends, and they're on my website today, stephaniekrevins.com/lead-kickass-meetings. Now, let's get back into that conversation. So, Gary, you said this was 7 years ago and took you a bit to transition out. You didn't want to make any abrupt moves. You fulfilled your obligations to your clients, to your people. Does not surprise me a bit, that level of integrity that you have. What has been different for you as a leader because you were willing to engage with that hard wrestle of what do I really want my businesses to be? And you chose focus. What's been different for you because you did that?
What's been different for me? That's a good question. I mean, you know, so, I mean, we always have, and most entrepreneurs can attest to this, we always have new challenges, right?
New ideas and new challenges.
New challenges, new messes, right?
Yes.
But
yes.
What it did, it created some confidence, maybe that's a decent word, that, okay, you know what? You know, I overcame that challenge. Okay, we can overcome the next challenge, right? You know, been in business now for so long and been out of corporate America since 2000, geez, five, essentially. You know, the more experienced you get, it just lets you know, look, you can overcome stuff. You know, you're kind of riding this wave of a little bit of faith in the economy to some degree. And, oh, you know, when the whole thing, the debacle around 2007 and 8 happened, and, you know, we're on the financial brink of disaster across the entire country, you know, you just know that you can get through, if you can get through that, okay, and then we get through this, and we get through this challenge. And so there's been so many of those where every one of those, and the big hot mess specifically that we're talking about, it let me know that, okay, look, I can deal with people issues. If I have to deal with it again, I can deal with it again.
Yes.
Don't like it? No, I probably don't. But I was, you know, remember, I forgot who it came from, but somebody was saying that, hey, really success, a lot of it really just comes by overcoming a lot of challenges, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You can't be successful without a challenge. And so you need these challenges, obstacles to be successful. And so I'm grateful for that. I think also, you know, from just a pure humbleness and humility standpoint, it also let me know, and even today, that, geez, I mean, you know, it just takes one or two issues, super big messes, and you could be out of business, right?
Yes.
So it's not an arrogance that you can never ever fail. There's a confidence, not arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also some humility there that says, geez, you know, you're not so high and mighty where, you know, stuff can happen and multiple issues, people, lawsuits, whatever it may be. And you could be out of business just like that.
Yes.
So I think keeping that balance, Stephanie, is just really, really critical. And so a lot of learnings through that mess and others that of keeping somewhat centered and balanced and grateful, right?
Centered and balanced and grateful. I want some more of that too. One of the things that I believe, and I'm going to go back to March 2020, right? The pandemic's hitting. A lot of folks are like, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. We got to get everybody home within the week. And I don't want to downplay that situation. But one of the things I observed from my more tenured leaders that I worked with, my more tenured CEOs like you and other older Gen Xers, younger baby boomers, they were like, this too shall pass. Like, we don't have to be Chicken Little with our heads cut off or the sky is falling. We have to just make the best decision in the moment, was my perception of how a lot of more seasoned leaders approached those initial months of the pandemic because they've been through those waves. Does any of that resonate with you? Did you feel like you had an internal strength or confidence or resilience that seemed to be a bit different than other folks at the same time?
During the whole pandemic piece, I don't know a lot about what too many other people did, you know, just because we were so shut off, you know, from the physical contact. Mm. But, you know, I would say that there was a calmness and a peace about it. I would have to admit that, you know, the PPP funds, certainly that was just a good move, you know, by the government. And did it pretty early on that created some calmness too there. Right?
Oh, yes.
Now, certainly for the businesses that had the financial documentation in order, certainly create a lot more calmness for those businesses as opposed to the ones who didn't have any documentation and couldn't really access the PPP funds quick enough.
Yes.
But I think that was just a good move that assisted in calmness. But I think for me, just being a Christian as well, mm-hmm. you know, it just you just learn about for me, and just to put my trust in Him versus put my trust in people and clients and what they do or don't do, or don't pay, or whatever, you know.
Yes,
that's just for me. I just got to keep that. It helps me keep the right perspective on things as well. That so, yeah, sense. It was going to pass, and, you know, it has passed. Now we got a different challenge with inflation and interest rate rising. And, you know, it's like I said before, it seems like there's this new challenges, you know, and new messes that we deal with. And we're going to overcome each and every one of them.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. And I have a friend who consults and coaches with a bunch of CIOs, and we were talking and he said, you know, the pandemic created pressures and adoption rates in IT that we've never seen before. You know, a lot of IT teams are seen as really the redheaded stepchildren of their organizations. And now they're not. That's evolved. But what CIOs moving forward, and I think this applies to all leaders, is every year there's something that's going to disrupt our business plans or our people plans or our financial plans. And it could be a pandemic, it could be inflation, it could be a recession that they're saying is here, is not here, is here, is not here. you know, there is always something big picture and like in the weeds that could change what we hope to accomplish. I don't know any plan that's ever gone according to plan. And as you referenced, like every successful leader just knows how to get past the challenges.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Not easy. Right?
No. No.
You know, you learn how to get past, and it helps to have a really good strong team, whether
yes.
it's, you know, one person or they are executive team right now. It's about five people. And so it helps to have a really good strong team. And that was one thing that I really appreciated going back to the pandemic, because I got sick really bad very early in the pandemic. Mm. And so that was, you know, that was difficult. And my best friend brother, he died while I was sick, like in March, April, about April timeframe of 2020. So that was really difficult. But, I tell you, that wasn't really, you know, have people to really think a lot about what's really important in life. And,
yes.
And I was out for at least a couple of weeks and I had a great you know, team, really, you know, that kept things kind of going, running well, handling the business and the communication with various folks. I mean, so it, I was certainly very, very appreciative of that and still am.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear about your friend.
Yeah, it was Sam. Still very Sam.
Yeah.
Mm. But, you know, there was other folks that, you know, had it that fortunately didn't pass either. So I'm grateful for the ones who made it through.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, it's still hurtful and painful for the ones that were close that didn't make it.
Yeah. And fortunately, unfortunately, that's the gift of perspective.
That's true. That is true.
Another challenging emotional time like that brings to us to remind us of like what is really, 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 truly important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh my gosh. Thank you for this conversation, this heartfelt conversation. I'm going to let you get back to changing your part of the world here in a little bit. One last question. What do you wish, you know, managers, directors would do maybe differently or would just do based on your experience? What do you wish they would take away from our conversation today?
You know, I mean, Stephanie, for me, being a manager of people for a long time, right? So, I think probably 30 years or 28 to 30 years of managing people. I would say one of the biggest takeaways here is, you know, working your hardest to be really empathetic with them. It really is so important to understand people. You know, I mean, I'm really bad at names, Stephanie, but I tell you what, I'm trying my best to at least try to remember I'm trying to remember the names of my employees, people that work for me, you know, I call them different names. So they will all have a name. It may not be their real name, somebody else's name, but I know that goes counter what I'm really trying to say, which is know your people, be empathetic, learn their names, but even beyond them, their kids' names. And as an engineer, I have to work really, really hard at that. That does not to me. So for those managers and leaders where it doesn't come natural, you know, be intentional about getting to know your people.
Mm-hmm.
Be a little bit vulnerable for allowing them to get to know you, right? And some of your challenges and
yes.
so forth. Because the term that I'm learning here from a lot of young people is just being real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and being real and being authentic means, hey, look, you know, I got feelings, you know, I'm nervous. I don't have all the answers like I did in the pandemic. You know, but even though I don't have all the answers, I'm confident we're going to get through this, right? But that's all part of that being real, getting to know the people, not you're way up here, they're way down there, not about how much money you make. Those it's not the role that you play. We all have different roles in the business. But I think, you know, trying to be humble as a leader, be empathetic as a leader, being confident also as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
If people can walk away knowing that, and like you said before, this too shall pass, right? And then, and also knowing that, hey, look, especially for those who are thinking about this entrepreneurial space too, you know, it's very rewarding and it's also very taxing.
Yes.
It's very taxing on people. So not everybody is wired to be an entrepreneur. So don't do it just because of the money. You got to do it here with an understanding of the commitment to the people,
mm-hmm.
your impact to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand and embrace this kind of macroeconomic and microeconomic impact that you as a business will have on the economy and be willing to embrace that.
Great point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And deal with the ups and the downs and so forth. Those are the major takeaways.
Yeah, I love, so many good lessons. There is definitely a weight that comes with being an entrepreneur that is different than being an employee of, even if you're top level leadership, it's just, it is different. And that's unfortunately, you know, why the rates of depression and anxiety for entrepreneurs are so high. And we need better coping mechanisms for that weight that comes with it. Yeah, so
I agree.
Yeah. Mm. Well, thank you so much. I just loved our conversation.
Yeah, same here. All right.
My friend, trust me when I say that Gary's care for people and level of empathy is one of the highest that I've ever met. I've had the good fortune of interacting with him in real life, IRL as the kids say, and you can feel his warmth, his genuineness, his generosity, his empathy that he has for other people. So when he says, learn to be empathetic for other folks, he's the real deal. He's walking the talk on that. Trust me, he is an amazing role model to learn from in so many areas of business and life and leadership. I want to share with you my top takeaways from our conversation. You know, that 20% of the content that's going to have 80% of the impact as I walk away from this conversation. And wherever you're watching or listening in, I'd love to hear yours too, because we can learn from you as well and learn from your experiences. So I was just taking all these notes. If you watch me on video, you can see me jotting these down. You know, I think this is a theme that's coming up more and more and more. And as he talked about the success of his electrical contracting business, he said, success doesn't necessarily mean money, right? Money doesn't equal success. And he wanted to love what he did. And so he had to make sure that he doubled down on his own definition of success, which wasn't just the money. And so I think that's a powerful lesson for all of us. And then, you know, when I asked him, how did you transition people? And his number one response, which has come up time and time again on this podcast, is transparency with his employees, with his clients, and ultimately with that partner that he was able to develop that partnership with, so that the great people on his team, those electricians that weren't suited for where his existing business was headed to go, could go and transition into that other company to continue doing what they love. And that notion that sometimes our competitors are our collaborators and our collaborators are our competitors, that is real business every single day. I don't personally believe that I have competitors or that Stephanie Carvins and Company really has competitors. We have collaborators. We have people that we work with sometimes. We have people that we don't work with any of the time. But to be in competition with a similarly situated business is not worth the brain space. Everyone can be a collaborator because you never know what your business is going to bring you and what problems you need help solving. I loved his connection between, you know, working to be centered, balanced, grateful, humble, and confident. If you'll listen to what he said toward the end of our conversation, this is one of the top influence skills that I teach my leaders. Every single time I teach about influence seems like a hard skill to learn. There's some very practical and tangible things you can do to increase the level of influence that you have with those around you. And you heard it directly from Gary today. And it is communicate that you don't have all the answers. You don't know how to figure it out right now, but I am confident that we will figure it out together. That messaging will bring your team together like no other. It will engender trust to you in your leadership role like no other messaging that I've ever experienced. So you can flip it if you want. You can say, hey friends, I'm confident we're gonna figure this out together. Right now, I don't know exactly how we're gonna do that. Right now, I don't exactly know all of the answers or detailed plans. And I am confident we will figure it out together. Sandwich those that messaging with the I don't know part. You are both humble, not both. You are humble, confident, and vulnerable, which is exactly what we want to see from our leaders. All right, my friend, now it's time to get to the impactful work. Take these lessons from Gary and I's conversation, put them into practice, go out there, do amazing things, shake up your part of the world, and I'll see you next time.